Welcome to our Wednesday evening service.
It's good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. And Dad asked me to preach. I didn't really have anything prepared, and that was back in, I think it was a couple weeks ago. And so I was on my way to work one morning, and listen, I like to listen to my Bible on the way to work just because it's quiet, and you know, I'm driving, so I'm focused on that. But I normally listen to music, but on the way to work, I like to listen to my Bible reading. And I heard a phrase I couldn't really get away from, and so I started digging into it, and this is what God gave me. So I pray that it's a help to y'all. It's kind of a new thought as far as like thinking is concerned. As far as I've never thought of this, the passage this way. So hopefully the Lord helps me to give it to y'all, and hopefully it's helped y'all as much as it is to me. But Romans chapter number 1, we'll start in verse number 1, and we'll read down to verse number 17. And, Romans 1, verse number 1, says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. This is where I want to spend most of my time tonight, but in verse number 14 it says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for just another opportunity to be back in your house, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for each and every one that has come out tonight, Lord. And I pray that you'd be with me as I preach, Lord. I pray that you'd give me the words to speak. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit, Lord. I pray that I wouldn't say anything that I shouldn't say, Lord. I pray that I'd say everything that you want me to. Lord, I just pray you'd meet with us tonight, Lord. We need you tonight. And in Jesus' name, amen. So first, I want to bring the message titled, "It's Living a Separated Life to the Gospel." A separated life unto the gospel. In verse number 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And we see that separation is a good thing, especially, I know it's a touchy subject around Baptist circles, or really about any circle, because it's separation, right? And what are you supposed to be separated from? What are you supposed to be separated to? Is there any gray areas? Is it just black and white? There's a lot of questions that come up with separation. And I want to turn to 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, dealing with this issue of separation. And why is it important to be separated unto the gospel? Is it possible to live a life separated unto the gospel? We see that Paul did it. He wasn't entangled with any affairs of this world. All he did was go around preaching the gospel. And we see that he was separated unto the gospel. That was his life. That was everything that he was concerned about, was with the gospel. And 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, begin in verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 14, it says, Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Through here, we're gonna see separation here. So it says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? It's one side, it's another side. Okay, they're separated, it's opposites. It says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? They're opposite. And then verse number 15, it says, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We see that God calls us to be separate. He calls us to be separate from the world. There should be a distinction. There should be a direct distinction from us Christians and the world. If you're walking down the aisle at Walmart and you're in the aisle and there's other people in the aisle and maybe they're not born again, maybe they're lost people, there should be a distinction. There should be you should be able to tell that you're different than the other people. And because you are. If you're born again, then you have the Spirit of God living within you. You should be separate. In order to live a life separated unto the gospel and unto the gospel's sake, you can't be tied down with things of the world. That's number one. You can't be tied down with things of the world. If you're entangled too much with things of the world, then how are you going to preach the gospel wherever you go? Right. If you're entangled with too much things in the world, then how are you going to how is the gospel going to be forefront in your mind and thinking every time you go out? Tonight I want to just preach on how often do you think about the gospel, and how often do you think about witnessing to others when you're out and about? Is that the first thing that comes to mind when you see some stranger out in Walmart or in a parking lot or maybe at the restaurant that you go to or something like that? Is it something that is common to think about? I know for me, I'm preaching to myself as much as anyone tonight. It's been convicting studying this out, but if you're not living a separated life, then those things about those things that you're entangled with in the world are gonna be at the forefront of your mind at all times. Things that you're thinking about. First, we see that to live a life separated under the gospel's sake, we have to be separate. Secondly, and really, I mean, this could be first. They kind of go hand in hand. You can't really live separated from the world unless you're saved. So first, I guess, really, is are you saved? Are you truly born again? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you haven't done this thing, then really there's no way you can live separated from the world because you are the world. You're of your father, the devil, right? That's what the Bible says. And so turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And here it gives it lays the gospel out real plainly. We'll start in verse number 1 of chapter number 15 in 1 Corinthians. First of all, tonight you must be born again. To live a life separated under the gospel, you have to believe the gospel. You can't live a life separated under the gospel without believing it first. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 says in verse number 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. So we see the gospel is real simple. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. First of all, why did he have to die? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter number 5, in verse number 12, I don't have all these written out, so I want to get them all right, but in Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we see that in the garden, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they walked and talked with God, they had that relationship, that communion with God, that fellowship with God. And they were able to talk with God anytime that they wanted to. And we see that God gave them one commandment, and it was to not eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you might say, well, eating a fruit isn't a sin. Yeah, but disobeying God is. And God told them not to eat of that fruit, and what did they do? They They got tempted by Satan, by the devil. And what did they do? Eve took the fruit and gave it to her husband also, and Adam ate, and he sinned. And now we're all sinners. We're all born as sinners. We're all the seed of Adam. If we were able to trace our lines all the way back to the beginning, we'd go all the way through Noah, like Brother Ryan mentioned in Youth Night last Sunday, and it'd go right back to Adam. And because we're all from Adam. Adam was the first man. Eve was the first woman. And from there, we all exist. I mean, you can go through lines and generations and generations. It was about 6,000 years ago that God created everything. But ever since Adam sinned in the garden there, we all have a sin curse, and it's not anything we can get away from with our own power. We're born sinners. We sinned as soon as we're, able to, and it's our nature. We call it a sin nature, right? And we can't get away from it. We can't save ourselves from it. And the Bible says that there is the only way that we could be saved from the wrath to come is for a perfect sacrifice to come and to die for us. He was a sacrifice that it had to be perfect and spotless and blameless. And we see that God sent his only son to come into the world. And we see that he lived the life that we could not live. He lived the perfect life, the sinless life. He never sinned once. We see that he was tempted by Satan himself. He took him up in the wilderness and tempted him there. But yet the Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ never sinned once, and that's how he was able to die for us on the cross. Now, the Bible, I like to say that that Jesus was God's perfect man and man's perfect God, right? Because he was all God and all man at the same time, and he was able to die for us on the cross to save our sins. We see that on the cross Jesus died. God placed upon him all the sins of the whole world. When he was hanging up there on the cross, God had to turn his face away from him because of all the sin that God had placed upon him. He bore all of our sins. He bore all my sins. He bore all your sins. And tonight, we don't have to go. We don't have to go to that horrible place called hell if you just believe the gospel tonight. It's really your choice. I don't believe God sends anyone to hell. I believe that either you send yourself there, or you reject the gospel and really you choose your own eternity. But we see that that Jesus didn't stay dead. Okay, and he died on the cross, bore all of our sins. He took all of our sins upon him, and he was buried. And he didn't stay dead. Amen. He rose again the third day. He sprinkled his blood upon the mercy seat of God the Father in heaven, and he paid the price for our sins. And first of all, tonight, if you're going to live a life separated under the gospel, you must be born again. You have to believe the gospel yourself. Without believing the gospel, then there is really no there's no purpose on earth. I mean, you live life, you make money, you go to work, you make money, you buy food, you exist on earth for a while, and then once you get older and you die, then what's with life at that point, you know? But with the gospel, once you get saved, believe the gospel, then you have purpose. And so I want to talk about the purpose tonight. If you're not saved tonight, tonight would be the best time in your life to get saved. The Bible says that today is a day of salvation. If you're struggling with your salvation, you don't know, if you want it to be explained to you more privately or personally than anyone here. I know Brother Ryan would love to explain that to you. Miss Janice would love to explain it to you. And there's many other people, Brother John back there, Brother Kyle, he'd love to sit down and explain the gospel more, or expound upon it more. Definitely ask them. They'd love to tell you. But don't leave here tonight lost. You can't leave here tonight lost. That's dangerous. You don't know if you'll ever hear the gospel again. You don't know if you'll have a chance to be saved again. But if you're born again, and you need to live a life separated under the gospel, let's turn over to, let's go back to our passage in Romans, Romans 1. Romans 1, we'll turn, verse number 14. Romans 1 and verse number 14 here. It says in verse number 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. This is the phrase that caught me off guard when I was going into work a couple weeks ago. And it was, I'm debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And I was like, how in the world is Paul a debtor to the Greeks and barbarians? I don't know. Did he owe him money? Did he owe him, I don't know. But he owed him something, obviously, because he was debtor. Studying it, I believe he owed them the gospel. And just studying this, we all owe lost people the chance to get saved. I believe that we all owe them the chance to hear the gospel. And as Christians on earth today, our commission in Matthew, we might go over there in a second. Our commandment as Christian is to give the gospel. And Paul, it shows that he was debtor both to the Greeks and barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. That's everybody. He owed them the gospel. And tonight, as Christians, have you ever given someone the gospel? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but you know if you have or not. And so, if you haven't, well then, I mean, you're indebted to the lost people to give them the gospel. Think of it this way. If you're in a building and it's on fire, and you're the only one in the building that knows it's on fire, and you're going down, you're trying to escape, you're getting out as fast as possible, you're going to save yourself, but you don't tell anybody else that there's a fire. You're not yelling, hey, there's a fire, get out, hurry, there's a fire, you need to get out, save yourself. You're not saving anybody. You're just running for your life. You're not worried about nobody. You're just running out, trying to get out as fast as possible. That would be terrible. I mean, we'd all agree that would be the worst thing ever. I mean, you're just going to let hundreds of people die, possibly. You know, you're not going to tell them that there's a fire in the building. You're not going to warn them of the destruction that's going to come to them. Well, that's the same way. We as Christians, we know the end. We know the destruction that's coming to every lost person out there. We know the end. We know their end. But yet we're silent. We don't give them the gospel. We walk by them every day. It's not at the forefront of our mind. We don't think about the gospel each and every time we're out and about. We don't think about giving out tracts. We don't think about the gospel. Our life, we're not living a life separated under the gospel. That's the worst thing that's possible, I believe. I mean, being a Christian, knowing what's coming, knowing the wrath to come, knowing someone's end, and not warning them about it. It's terrible. It's terrible. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter number 33. Ezekiel chapter number 33. Brother Samuel Freed preaches a message out of this text here, and he does a really, really good job preaching this text, but I believe he's preached it here at the church. So if you get a chance, I'd go back on our website and look up this message that he preaches. But in Ezekiel chapter number 33, verse number 1, we'll begin. Verse number 1, it says again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword cometh upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. And he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. So basically what it's saying here is back in Ezekiel's time, cities would have walls around them. They'd set up watchmen. They'd set up all around the compound, all around the city. And their job was to look out and watch for danger, watch for enemies coming to attack them. And they had one job. If you see danger, then you blow the trumpet. And there's multiple different trumpet calls that they had that meant different things. But this one was a trumpet call for danger. This one was a trumpet call for war. And his job was to blow that trumpet to warn the people, hey, there's an enemy on the horizon. They're coming to destroy us. Either get your sword and get ready for battle, or get out of here. It was to warn them. And we see that if that trumpet blower did not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and that enemy took over that city and destroyed the people, we see that the blood was on the watchman's hand. We see that God requires that all the blood of those people at the watchman's hand. And but we see that if he blew the trumpet and the people didn't respond, they didn't get ready, they didn't get ready to fight, they didn't leave, they didn't heed the warning, and the enemy comes and destroys them, then we see that the blood was on the people's hand. It wasn't the watchman's fault that they didn't do anything about it. It wasn't the watchman's fault that they didn't heed the warning that he gave them. But tonight, we as Christians, we're like watchmen. We're set up on that city, that wall right there. And we can look out and we can see, thanks to the Bible, we can see what happens in the end. We can see what happens to people's lives if they're lost. We can see what happens to people's lives if they're saved. I mean, it's real clear in the scriptures that if you're born again, if you believe the gospel, then you're either going to die and go to heaven, or you're going to be raptured out and go up to heaven that way. We see that if you're lost and you die, then, well, we see that too. We see the end of that too. And that's worse. That's, well, if you die and you're lost, and you obviously, you go to lake of fire, you go to hell. But we see the danger. We see the end. And our job as watchmen, we're here to warn people. If we don't warn them, then their blood's going to be on our hands. If we don't warn the lost people, then how much, I mean, there's a lot of people. I came in contact with how many people this week? Thousands, maybe. I mean, you gotta work every day, see people drive by. I mean, you walk by, or you go to a store, see people walk by, and I mean, we see people all the time. But I wonder how many people you come in contact with every week. I wonder how many people survive till the next week. I wonder how many people are able to hear, or are able to have another opportunity to hear the gospel next week. It's our job as watchmen to warn them. We have a job. We need to live our life separated under the gospel. I was thinking back on just things this last week, and just opportunities I've had at work to talk to other guys. And there's a guy named Logan at our work, at my workplace. He was fired back in July of last year, I believe. And he started about 2 months before I did, and he was on a different crew, so I didn't really see him very often. I'd see him maybe a couple times a month. I mean, we go to the same place. So, I mean, we'd park in the same parking lot. We might see him while he's going to his truck, while I'm going to my truck. We didn't really talk much. But then one of our guys was off. He was gone for the day, and so the other crew let Logan come over to our crew, and he helped us out for that day. And we laid conduit in the ground, you know, did normal job. I mean, just, you know, went about my day. And I didn't really think about, I wasn't really concerned with Logan's soul, I guess is what I'm trying to get at. And it wasn't very long after that, he did something, and he got fired for what he did. And I haven't seen him since. I don't have his phone number. I don't know where he lives. I don't know. I don't even know if he's still alive, to be honest. That was back in July, and 2020 was 2023 last year, so I haven't spoken to him since. But I have to wonder, what if God had him come to my crew that day so I could share the gospel with them, and I completely failed? His blood might be on my hands. What if that was his chance to hear the gospel? What if that was his last chance? I don't know. I don't know where he's at today. I can't confirm if he's alive or not. I can confirm that I had a chance to give him the gospel and I didn't do it. It's a sobering thought because we all have family members that may or may not be saved. We all have people we're close to at work, or whether it's just someone you hang out with or friends or whatnot. But what if they're not saved? Have you ever talked to them about the gospel? Have you ever shared the gospel with them? Tonight, I just want to get our thoughts on the gospel. I mean, it's our responsibility to get the gospel out to this lost and dying generation. Is there blood on your hands tonight? You might be thinking of that one person that, oh man, next time I see them, I'm going to give them the gospel. Maybe you take a tract tonight. Maybe you fill your pockets up with tracts and hand them out next time you're out and about. Maybe we start untangling ourselves from this world and start living a separate life. Maybe we realize that this world isn't our home. We're just passing through. Maybe we start thinking on eternal things and not worldly things tonight. There's a statement that C.T. Studd said a long time ago, and it's something that stayed with me for a while now. I heard it a couple years back, and it's kind of, I guess, become my life motto, if you want to put it that way. But it's one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. If we're being honest, I mean, the things that we do on this earth, they're here for a little time and it vanishes away. That's what our life is. It's like a vapor, the Bible says. And I guess the fact of the matter is, when I die, no one's going to know that I worked at Lanham & Sons for however long. No one's going to know that I drove a Ford Ranger for a couple years. No one's going to know that I liked football and I watched it quite a bit. No one's going to know I had a March Madness bracket and, you know, I was, you know, trying to have the best bracket out of everyone. And no one's going to know that I live in Greenwood. No one's going to know all that stuff. They're not going to care. But hey, if I give the gospel to one person and they get saved, they're never going to forget that. That's going to stick with them for the rest of their life. I remember the night that I got saved. I remember Brother Ted Alexander was up here preaching on different types of sins and how we're sinners and how if we don't believe the gospel, then you don't get saved and you go to a horrible place called hell. That's all I could think about that night. I was sitting over there where Hannah is, and I was sitting with Jake and Johnny, and we're sitting there, and people already thought I was saved. I grew up in church. My dad's been the pastor here ever since, 3 years before I was born, so this is all I'd known, but people thought I was saved, and I was like, man, if I go up there and get saved, then what are they going to think of me? Think I was lied to them all these years? Well, yeah, I mean, I was, so I guess it's okay for them to think that, but I was convicted right over there where Hannah's sitting, and I was holding on the pew, and I remember the altar call, and Brother Ted was still up here giving the altar call, and Dad was standing over here by the door, and I was holding on to the pew and gripping it like crazy, and you know, I decided to get up and go talk to Dad, and I did, and he showed me the Bible. Show me in the Bible right here on this altar how I can be saved. And well, I'll tell you what, my life has never been the same after that night. Amen. I got saved that night, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I can honestly say that. And that was back in 2017, and it was May 20th, I believe. And that was a good night. I never forgot that night. Only what's done for Christ will last. I'll never forget Brother Ted Alexander and his influence on my life. I'll never forget my dad and his influence on my life in the ways of God. Those are things I'll never forget. Those things will last. Those things, I want to be able to preach the gospel to people and see them get saved and see those things last. Are you separated under the gospel tonight? Let's go back to Romans chapter number 1 here. Romans chapter number 1, we'll start in verse number 15. By the way, I'm not saying anything in the world is wrong. As far as like having fun or anything, I mean, I have a dirt bike. I love riding my dirt bike. I love having fun. I love going shooting guns with my family. And there's things that I do that's not necessarily gospel oriented, but I'm not saying those things are wrong. I'm not saying you can't live a life that's enjoyable. But I am saying that we should be thinking about the gospel. That should be at the forefront of our thoughts, especially when we go out into the lost and dying generation and world. And but Romans chapter 1, verse number, let's go ahead and read number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Tonight, maybe you're ashamed of the gospel. Maybe you haven't given out the gospel because you're scared of what people might think of you. I've been there. Maybe that's why I didn't give Logan the gospel when I had the chance. Maybe that's why I haven't given everyone that I've come in contact with the gospel. Maybe it's because I'm scared of what they might think. Maybe it's because I'm ashamed. Maybe it's because I was ashamed. I'm going to be transparent here. I have been ashamed of the gospel before. And it shows that I haven't lived my life separated under the gospel. Are you ashamed of the gospel tonight? There's one good way of knowing it, if you are. When people when people come and ask questions about God's word or ask questions about the gospel, do you shrug them off and be like, "Yeah, we'll talk about that later." There's too many people here. Let's just wait until there's less people and we'll talk about it then. This last week, I was at a job site and one of our welders had a question about the Bible, and his daughter went to a Lutheran church and brought home a pamphlet, and he had a question about it. And so he was over there just working on he had to cut some beams into pieces so he could weld something. And he's over there and he's like, "You go to church, right?" And I was like, "Yes, sir, I do." And he goes, "I got a question about you, or I got a question for you." And then I was like, "All right, shoot." And he gave me his question. And I was able to answer it, and I answered it in a different way, I guess, than one of my other coworkers would have answered it. And so he started to answer it, and he goes, "No," he's like, "I believe this one." And this particular coworker goes to a ecumenical church, and I'll tell you what, though, he ain't ashamed of what he believes, and it's neat working with him because I'm not, it's fun to bounce things off of him and say, "Hey, what do you think about this?" Or, it's fun to talk to him about this stuff because he actually enjoys it, and we can talk through things. We got off on the subject of why I believe the King James Bible is God's word, and he's wanting to know why he can't use this version. And anyways, we talked for a good while after that. But what if I was ashamed of what I believed right then and there? What if I didn't give the gospel right then and there? What would have happened then? I don't know. That's good. It's something to think about. But the stuff, it opens up areas in life. I mean, Hannah's over here at Chick-fil-A winning souls of the Lord because she's witnessing to people and giving the gospel out. And Sarah's been saved and Aramis has been saved. And it's like God's doing a work at Chick-fil-A, It's awesome. And she's not ashamed of the gospel. Obviously not, because she's telling people about it. She's winning souls of the Lord over at Chick-fil-A. Are you ashamed of the gospel tonight? Is there blood on your hands tonight? We have an awesome opportunity to have a tent meeting here in about 5 weeks, and we're going to be going out door to door and giving out gospel tracts and giving out invites, and we're going to have preaching under the tent every night about the gospel, and there's hopefully going to be people saved. There's going to be people turning from their sins and trusting God as their Savior. Where are you going to be during that time? Are you going to be on the front lines up there at the altar, saying, "Hey, I want to work with that person. I want to give them the gospel. I want to see them saved"? Are you going to be in the back of the tent and just sitting there and doing nothing? We have an opportunity coming up. Where are you going to be? You going to be getting that blood off of your hands? You going to be out giving the gospel, getting that blood off your hands? I hope so. That's where I want to be. I want to be right out there giving out the gospel. Tonight, I just want to ask the question: Are you living the gospel? Are you living a life separated under the gospel? When people look at your life and they see what you do, are they going to be more surprised about your success in your job or success in just earthly things, or are they going to be more surprised about the success that you have in giving out the gospel and that impact that you have in people's lives that's going to last forever? I don't know, that's a good question. I hope people look at my life and say, hey, he preached the gospel quite a bit. That's what I want people to look at my life and see. I don't know if they can yet. I don't know if that's possible yet. I'm working towards it, though. Are you working towards it? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Heads bowed, eyes closed.